Lord, we are grateful to be gathered together today to worship your holy name. We offer our worship and adoration to you, for you are worthy to be praised. We lift our voices together to offer you all that you are due. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move among us. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, to hear your voice, and to experience your presence. Fill us with joy as we meet with you. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the Passion Translation, and it's Psalm 69, verses 29 to 36. I am burdened and broken by this pain. When your miracle rescue comes to me, it will lift me to the highest place. Then my song will be a burst of praise to you. My glory shouts will make your fame even more glorious to all who hear my praises. For I know, Yahweh, that my praises mean more to you than all my gifts and sacrifices. All who seek you will see God do this for them, and they'll overflow with gladness. Let this revive your hearts, all you lovers of God. For Yahweh does listen to the poor and needy and will not abandon his prisoners of love. Let all the universe praise him. The high heavens and everyone on earth praise him. Let the oceans deep with everything in them keep it up. God will come to save his Zion people. God will build up his cities of Judah, for there his people will live in peace. All their children will inherit the land, and the lovers of his name will live there safe and secure. Thanks be to God for his word.
It's good to be back again. I do that so that I can know that I'm speaking loud enough. Otherwise, I think I'm loud and everybody's straining to hear me. I was saying to some people this morning, it feels like about a year. I don't know when last I was here. It feels like years. But I know it wasn't that long, but it is really, really good to be back. And Jean apologized. She sends her love. She can't be with us today. She is at St. Paul's, preaching at St. Paul's today. The person was supposed to preach there today, couldn't make it, so she went off to go and fulfill that role. So, yes, so I'm here, and she sends her love and wishes she was here. She'll come and collect me later on when she's finished, I hope. Otherwise, someone here will be having someone extra for lunch. Today, I don't know, I've just been listening to the songs and the talks with the children and everything else. And it really just sits with me on Father's Day and praising God. When I titled the talk today was Praise Him. But it's interesting. I mean, I remember a while back I spoke to some lady and she says, I hate all this promotion for Mother's Day. Because I'm not married, I don't have any children. It really upsets me. And I don't know about you, but lately I've been getting emails from various places say, do you want to opt out of Father's Day's emails? And then I start to think of it, and I thought, but when I look at Father's Day, I look to the same Father that we all have, and that is our Heavenly Father. Every one of us has a reason to celebrate Father's Day because we all have a father, a good father. But often we see it, and I don't want to get too much into this teaching today, is that we often project the experience that we have on our earthly father onto our heavenly father, good or bad. I was fortunate enough that I had a pretty good father. And now a lot of the what he gave to me, I projected onto our Heavenly Father. But he's so much more. And then we have other people who they say, oh, I've got a good dad. He's a red. He did this for me, and he did that for me, and he did this for me. He did everything for me. He was such a good dad. What makes a father good? Because he does everything for you? I love the song they have to be saying there, a good, good father. Because that's who he is. And on the reading that I did this morning, I want to focus on two of the verses, verse 30 and 31. Then my song will be a burst of praise to you. My glory shouts will make your fame even more glorious to all who hear my praises. Remember that? Who hear my praises. For I know, Yahweh, that my praises mean more to you than all my gifts and sacrifices. I can remember a few years back, Peter Jackson from Toronto was doing a Father Heart conference here. And he came up with a phrase, which I like it. I'll use it now and again. He says, what we need in our lives is we need more da-da and less do-do. Now, the do-do he's talking about is doing things, just to clarify that. We need more da-da. And often I think we come when we talk about praising God. When he's doing things for us, or when we're in a good place, when things are going well, it is so easy to praise him, and we're praising him for what he's done for us, which we need to praise, yes, not to do that. But when we're in a bit of a dark patch, when things aren't going too well, it's very difficult to praise him. Because we get into a lifestyle of praising for what we receive. You see, unfortunately, as much as you'd like to, it's not about you. And it's not about me, okay? It's about him and who he is. And it's something that we need to learn to ascertain of who he is, his character, his goodness of God, that he loves us, and to praise him for who he is. One of the scriptures that I often use, and it's amazing, it comes into me up to in various walks, various scenarios, it's the one in Matthew 6:33. I think it's there where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is where it comes after talking about the flowers, the fields, and the birds that got their food and everything else. Seek his kingdom. Now, what is the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, peace, and joy. So why does he say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? You see, it's just an emphasis that he's having there, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then he goes, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, we're not going to praise him for what he's done for us, but we praise him for who he is. My children, when they come to me and they praise me and they give me thanks and love me for Dad, when I haven't done anything for them, means so much more. When I've done things for them, and I come and say thanks. I appreciate the thanks. And it's great that they come and they acknowledge what I've done for them. But when they come and just thank me just for being Dad, it means so much more to me. And we need to get into that with Father God, to praise him for who he is. He's the creator of everything. He wants to give us everything. And sometimes we do things that we think, right, we want to do God a favor. Now, I used to be a great one. I did God so many favors, it wasn't true. I could have a list of all the favors that I used to do to God. But I want to go and I want to touch very briefly on a favor that Saul did for God. Remember there, Samuel came and he said to him, you've got to go and destroy the Amalekites and destroy everything. Nothing is to be kept. You must destroy everything. So he went and he did that, but what did he do? He kept some of the best of the flock. Some of the good things. All those things, detestable and whatnot, he got rid of that. And he brought that back. And when Samuel challenged him, he said, but I've brought this here to sacrifice to God. I've collected these good things to sacrifice to God. On the face of it, we look at him and say, well, that's fine. I mean, why was Samuel so upset? Why did God get up? He got the best things. He didn't bring the rubbish. He got to find the best lambs and that to come and to sacrifice to him. And in Samuel 1:15-22, Samuel says to him, has the Lord a greater delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And then he says, behold, it is better to obey is better than sacrifice. He wasn't obedient to God in doing what he did, but he thought he would keep some of the stuff to sacrifice to him, but that was not what God told him to do. I don't know about you, but I used to sit down and I used to negotiate with God. And I say to him, you give me the numbers, and when I win the lottery, I could go to this church where there's so much we could do for the kingdom, God. What I'll do is, I won't just give you 10%, I'll give you the 90% and I'll just keep the 10%. You see, I wasn't negotiating for him. I was negotiating for myself and trying to justify it by saying I was giving it to him. Saul allowed his soldiers to keep some of the flock because they were grumbling. So he thought rather than be obedient to God, he would succumb to the desires of his men because he was scared in case they rebelled against him. So he allowed them. He allowed them to walk in disobedience and then tried to justify it and to make good by saying, what are we going to sacrifice to God? Obedience was what he wanted. He didn't need him to do him favors. And that cost him his kingship. If we look at Ephesians 2:8, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version, because I like the Amplified Version now and again, because it tends to expound it a bit more. For it is by grace, which is God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but is a gift, undeserved, gracious gift of God. If we walked in obedience to God and praised him for who he is, if we studied him and to get to know his attributes, his goodness, his faithfulness, he's a just God. And praised him for who he is. You will be amazed as to what he will do. The changes in your life. Paul and Silas, when they were in the dungeons, down in the deepest dungeons, chained and everything else, possibly being beaten and that. I would have been saying to Silas, you and I, we need to get and do some intercessory prayer here. We need to start praying that God gets us out of here because this is not right. We are doing his work and we have been beaten up. We hear, this is not right. God, you must do something. Was that what they're doing? No. They were praising God for who he was. And what happened? Doors came open and whatnot, and God responded. God responds to praise. And one of the choruses, he says, because he knows what we need before we even ask. God knows everything about us. That sometimes can be quite frightening. Because you may be able to hide things from your spouse, your parents, your children. But unfortunately, you can hide nothing from God. And sometimes we need to just accept that and just own up and say, well, you know. Because you know, sometimes when you're at work and the boss comes along and asks you a question, and you can tell from their attitude that they already know the answer, but they want to see if you're going to give them the right answer. It's like God when he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. Where are you? He knew exactly where they were. He's looking for honesty from us. God, we need to be honest with him. In us, like the children, something is gone, something is broken. If you want to learn excuses, go into the house when the children are broken something and say, who broke this? It's amazing the stories you can get as to how that vase ended up on the floor in pieces. You know, it was the cat, which doesn't exist. Or it was the wind. Or it was something else. Or it was, they did it, not me. And as a parent, you come down and you know who's done it. But you try and you ask, because what do you want? You want them to be honest and to share and say, yes, it was me. Because then you don't have to bring in and take the discipline to a higher level. If it's an accident, that's fine. But you don't have to discipline them for not telling the truth. You go through and you read in the Psalms, and you read David, how he used to pour out his heart, praising God. Praising him for what? He comes down, he says, you are my deliverer. I know that you will deliver me. You haven't delivered me yet, but I'm going to praise you because I know that's who you are. And you will deliver me. I will be rescued. You will take me out of the depths and you will lift me up. Because he knew God. He knew his character. He knew his attributes. He knew who he was. So he was able to praise him. Even in the midst of some of the things that he went through. And even, you know, often things, David was a man after God's heart. And God loved David. And when we look at David's lifestyle and we see what he got up to. I mean, he was a murderer, an adulterer, and I don't know what else. But he would confess to God, and he would seek him. And he would praise him. Praise is the most powerful weapon that you can have in your armory. To praise him. In our reading there, it says, my praises mean more to you than all my gifts and sacrifices. God has called Dean and I to do many things. And we've had the privilege of being in a number of nations. But we thank him for the privilege. Why he chose us, I don't know. But I thank him for it because I know when he's there, when he sends you, you can do what he asks you to do. And we are moving now into a time in the church where the church needs to stand up for the truth. And we need to praise him. We look around the world, and I think it's so easy to think, God, are you having an afternoon nap? Look at what's going on. How can you allow it? I just want to make one thing clear. God does not cause evil. That is what man has done. The devil has come in and he has corrupted the world. And the world needs to take responsibility for it. And while we allow that to take root in our lives, it becomes very difficult to praise God. Because you see, God, you're not doing what I think you should be doing. The churches, I believe at this stage, the churches are becoming like the Pharisees before Jesus came. With the rules and what they are doing, he's putting on a lot of rules in place which are not on the scripture. We look in a number of churches today, things that are proclaimed which are contrary to the gospel. I will challenge anyone when they come with it, they come along and they say, well, this is what, if you are saying that sin is not sin anymore, then I am sorry, but you are not walking according to scriptures. And do not expect God to come and bless what you are doing if you're consistent, if you can say sin is not sin anymore. I praise God for his grace and his mercy. Because if it wasn't grace and mercy, I wouldn't be able to stand here today. Because I really tested his grace and his mercy to the nth degree. But yet, there were times when I was struggling in habitual sin. But I did not try and say, it's okay, I'm struggling, I'm weak. That's it there, God, you're just going to have, this is just who I am. I said, now God, this is what you want for me, but I am powerless. I am unable to get out of it. Will you please help me to get out of this? I recognize that it is not according to your scripture. Can you please help me to come out of it? And he does. And he did. And the biggest challenge that we have is to say sin is not sin anymore. I've gone a little bit off script, but I just sense that's something that needed to be shared this morning. We need. But how do you know it? How do you know what is right? Well, we need to see the word and ask Holy Spirit to interpret the words for us. Reading the scriptures without Holy Spirit is a pointless exercise. Because you need him to bring revelation. And I'm sure all of you have experienced this. You read a scripture, you've maybe read it 20 or 30 times. And then suddenly when you read it, you skim, this wasn't there before. Because then suddenly the Holy Spirit brings revelation to you that he needs to bring into your life. And I just praise God. And I thank him when I read the scriptures. If it doesn't make sense, or for going through there. I don't sit in panic. I say, Holy Spirit, there, do I need to stop? And if he says, no, carry on, I'll carry on. Because I trust him to stop me when he needs me to stop so that he can speak to me. I praise him for that. Because that's who he is. He is one of the greatest teachers. He's given Holy Spirit to dwell with him and his very spirit to dwell within me to unpack this. And I praise him for it. I praise him for his faithfulness, for his mercy. And as you praise, I praise him for it. I just see what he does for me. It's like any father. When their children come and they praise, and you know it's genuine praise and love that they give them on it. Your heart changes and you cannot help it but to do things for them and to bless them. I don't praise God to receive his blessings because that's manipulation. I praise him for who he is and I have faith and I trust him that he will deal with the situation in my life. Father made one of the greatest sacrifices. He sent his son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. Nothing else we can do. We need to praise him for his steadfastness because he wanted us reconciled to him. He wanted to be able to call us sons and daughters. If we be able to look at him and call him Abba Father. I just thank God. And one of the scriptures that I love is in Jeremiah 29:11. Where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's the God who we need to praise. The one who's got our best interests at heart. We don't need to wait until our future's before us or we have the plans for us. Dean and I are going through a period where God was, some of you know that we minister into the Balkan areas in Albania and we're now moving into Bulgaria as well. And the last time I was there, one of the people gave a word to me. He said, God's giving you a new assignment. I don't know what the new assignment is, but I praise God. I said, when the time comes, you will reveal that what that assignment is. I will continue to walk on the path that you have set before me. Continue to praise you and thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. And to trust you that when the time comes, you will say, this is where you need to go. Because I trust that his plans for me are to give me a hope in the future. That's the God I want to praise. And that's the God I'm asking you to praise. The God who has a plan and a hope and a future for you. He's not a God who just thinks, wake up this morning, all right, what can I do for these people today? No, it's already been planned before you were born. Before you were born, you formed in your womb, I knew you. I often use, God did not look for something for you to do when you were created. No, he created you for a plan that he already had in his mind. No one, I don't care how they are conceived, nobody is a mistake. Nobody. God has a plan for every single person. It is up to us whether we want to journey with him and to walk in the plan that he has for us. Or whether we want to walk in the world, we succumb to the world. I want to praise God for who he is. He's a father who you can trust. I had a good father, trustworthy, but my God in heaven leaves him standing. And I have to look to him. in the other church where Jean and I look after, St. Paul's. Someone who just had a recent bereavement. But they are trusting God. And she's praising God for who he is. Walking in faith. Not knowing what's going on, but walking in faith and praising him. I want to leave you today with the thought, I'm going to praise God, and I don't care what is going on around, what is happening in the world, what's happening in my life, but I'm going to praise him because he's a good father and I can trust him. I'm going to walk in obedience to him, irrespective of what my circumstances dictate. Because if we live according to our circumstances, we could have a problem. That doesn't mean to say ignore everything, but to seek him and to walk in obedience. Can we pray? Father, I thank you that you are a good father, that you love us. You demonstrated that love, that while we were yet sinners, you sent your son to die for us. Holy Spirit, you have come to dwell within us, to give us guidance, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, to bring us revelation. I ask that you help us to walk in that obedience to the Father. That we would walk in obedience to him. We would not be sidetracked by the things of the world, but to have faith and trust the Father that his plans for us are the best. We trust you, Holy Spirit, that you will reveal his plans for us. And we will praise you, Father. We will praise you everywhere. So when people hear our praises, that you will be glorified. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be the people that the Father created us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.